So we are in Shah HaYichud VeEmuna, and we're looking at chapter 1, and at the top of the page it's got the number 152 on the Hebrew side, and on the English translation at the bottom it's 287 and 288. Do you have it? That's it, right, okay. So now let's just recap a little bit. So we are trying to understand two modes of hisboneness, of contemplation.
Can I take to the man? Is that okay? Got some more of this.
So we're trying to understand two modes of contemplation. One is what's called Yehudi Ilah. And Yehudi Ilah means that one just focuses on the divine life force, which is the essence of reality, the essential reality of the entire universe and everything in the universe and beyond. And that's called the upper unity. The lower unity is the idea that there is a world and you focus on the world, but you know that there is a divine life force within the world. So one way is that you just see godliness with your mind's eye. And that's especially associated with saying the Shema, putting your hand over your eyes and saying, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That it doesn't mean only one, it means there's only God. Not that there's one God as opposed to three or seven or ten. It's only God. Ein od nuvado. There's nothing apart from God.
The one and only.
The one and only, and expressing the idea that only God exists. Only God is the true reality of everything.
This is the one and only, isn't it? The one and only means really, I think
the eternal, unique, and omnipresent.
When you say the one and only,
or in any order you want to correct it.
Right, okay.
The one and only. The one and
only. Unique.
That's the one and only. It's only.
Right, okay. All right, right. And so we're exploring this, and we looked at the line which comes at the end of the first paragraph of the Aleinu prayer. That's at the beginning of the chapter. V'yadata hayom b'hashevot el avavecha. You should know today and turn in your heart. In other words, meditate that Hashem is Elohim in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Ein od. And there's nothing else. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman asks, what is there to meditate about? The idea that God is one. Okay, we believe that there's one God. What is there so much to meditate about? And then he launches into an explanation what there is to meditate about. And that is that when Hashem created the world, Hashem said various statements. The sages tell us when you count them up and you include Bereshit as one of the statements in the beginning, then you have 10 statements. Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra olam. It says in Pirkei Avot, with 10 statements the world came and was created. And those 10 statements are like energy which is flowing from God into the world, making it exist. But the interesting thing is that it's not something that God just said at the beginning of creation. It's a continuous statement which is flowing into the universe, making it exist. And so the words with which Hashem creates every detail in the universe, right down to what is here on this table, the napkin, the crumbs of cake, you know, whatever it is, it's all being kept in existence by Hashem, a flow of what we call letters. You see, the Torah speaks about the speech of God. Vayomer Elohim, God said, Yehi Or, let there be light. So it's speech. So speech is a flow of something flowing. Speech is a metaphor. But what is this metaphor? Let's look at it in human terms. A person has thoughts in their mind which are hidden from other people. And then they speak, and the thought emerges and is revealed. So in a parallel way, God's speech is revealing something. And what he's revealing is the universe. Creation is a kind of revelation of some aspect of the divine. It's a paradox, because the Kabbalists explain also that creation is a kind of hiding of the divine. Because before there was creation of the world, there was only the divine, and everything was just the infinite essence of godliness. But then God veiled that essence in order that the world, the universe, and all the different levels of universe, Atzilut, emanation, Bria, creation, and so on, came into being, and finally our world, the world of Asiya, of action, and the lowest level of that world, the physical world. So in a sense, creation is a hiding of godliness, but it's also a revelation of godliness. So that's the paradigm.
I think it depends whom, by whom. Revelation, for those who don't believe, not have to see something. So you see the world, how do you know Hashem exists? Look at the world, by the fact that it is a creation, somebody created it. So if you don't believe, you become a believer, you should become a believer. But he's hiding himself, for those who really go for purity, for higher levels,
truth.
For them, it's really hiding. Oh no, they want to see the light.
So they want to see. I see the way you're explaining it. So the people who want to see the higher spiritual dimension, for them the world is a consumer. Whereas for someone who is at a lower spiritual level, so to speak, for them the world is a revelation of God.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
The speech of Hashem may be compared to the revelation of His will. Because He could very well have said, instead of saying, and the Almighty said, let there be this, just created it. Since Rambam explains that His thought, will, and essence of creation are one and the same.
Right.
Therefore, we did not need this stage of speech.
So you mean it could
simply created, and the Almighty created this, and the Almighty created that.
So God could have created it without saying it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is why the Torah uses the metaphor that God spoke.
Yeah.
Because what it wants to tell us is that somehow the speech of God is integrally part of the creation right now. See, if you say the will, so God willed everything to come into being. All right, so there it is. Let there be a world, there's a world, there's a universe. But the point that Tanya is explaining goes back to earlier teachings, is the idea that God's speech is some aspect of godliness, which it's like a beam of radiance, a beam which is shining and making the world exist.
It's like a continuous life force.
Yes, absolutely. A continuous life force. Yes, yes. Now that life force, as explained by Rabbi Schneur Zalman, or it's the subtext of this chapter, that life force comes from the Torah. And it's from the 10 statements in the Torah that we have beams of energy flowing into the world, the universe, making everything exist. The sun, moon, stars, the galaxies, this earth, everything on the earth, the seas, the dry land, the animals, the fish, the birds, it's all there because of this energy flowing from God. Now, So we got up to four lines from the bottom to the word va'af in the middle of the line. Va'af shelo huzka. You see that? In the middle of the line? Yep. Va'af shelo huzka shem even ba'asora ma'amoras shebetoyra. Now, even though the word stone, for example, even, is not mentioned in the 10 statements in the Torah, which are the 10 statements with which God created the world. He said, let there be light, yihi or, let there be a firmament, yihi rakia. He said these 10 statements, but the word stone isn't there. Now, in that case, how can Rabbi Shneur Zalman say that a stone, like imagine we had a nice stone over here, well, an ornamental stone you might want to put in your garden, yes, nice big stone, or a little stone, a pebble. This stone, how does it exist? If Hashem did not mention it, if the Torah doesn't mention it, in fact, lots of other things. The Torah only gives a little, like a brief outline. That's the fish, it doesn't speak about which fish, the birds, the animals, doesn't, yeah? So the question is because what we are, what Rabbi Shneur Zalman is moving towards is the idea that every single object has a spiritual life force in it, which comes from God and is expressed in the Hebrew name of that object. The Hebrew name of that object. Hebrew is understood as a different kind of language to all other languages. It is the language of creation. And in that sense, it's the reality of existence. So when you say that the Hebrew name for a certain object, that is its life force. That's the spiritual energy which is there in that object. But how do we deal with the fact that the word Evan is stone, is not mentioned at the beginning of the Torah with the account of creation? So Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains this. Afal pichein, nonetheless, nim shachayis le'evan, life force comes to the stone al yedei tseirufim v'chilufei oisius, through different combinations and transformations of letters, Hebrew letters, hamisgalgalois, which sort of go round and change from one into the other, bereish lamed aleph sha'orim, in the 231 gates, ponim v'ocha, forwards and backwards, Kamosha Kosov Basefer Yetzira, as it says in the book of creation. Now what that means. First of all, the book of creation, have you heard of that?
Yes, but I don't know what it is.
Have you heard of it?
No.
No. Sefer Yetzira. It's an ancient book. Meyuchas LaAvraham Avinu, attributed to Abraham. It's an ancient book. You can buy it in a bookshop today here. It's not very long. The actual book is very short, but there are lots of commentaries. So the book of creation is talking about the creation of the universe. In the Talmud, this book is mentioned, and it says that there were two rabbis who lived somewhere in the desert. And every Friday night, or Friday day, they would use the book of creation to create a calf, which they would then slaughter and eat for their Friday night meal.
They created it?
Yes, using the book of creation. Okay. So you can buy the book in a bookshop, but it doesn't necessarily tell you how to use it to make a calf. But what it says in the book of creation is that the way in which the letters are transformed one letter into another. Now, so you have certain letters which are in the Asara Ma'amarot, in the 10 statements with which God created the world. Now, you then imagine that you have Aleph can be changed into a Bet, or Aleph can be changed into a Gimel, or into a Dalet. So you can write the whole alphabet, beginning with Aleph, Aleph becoming a Bet, Aleph becoming a Gimel, Aleph becoming a Dalet, right? So now, how many pairs are there of letters in that way? Now there are 22 letters.
22 by 22.
Yeah.
He says 231 gates.
22 by 22. Yes. Yeah, so what's 22 by 22? It's actually 22 by 21.
Aleph and there's like the Bet Aleph, Bet Gimel, Bet. Yes. Bet, Gimel, that, Aleph, Gimel.
Well, that's right. You can do it both ways round. You can do it Aleph to Bet and Bet to Aleph.
Twice.
Well, that's the thing. Panim va'achot, forwards and backwards.
It's a 40, it's more, 44.
So, 42. So what's 22 times 21?
22.
Well, it's 462. Is that right?
If you say so, you thought about it, you calculate.
Let's.
This is half.
And this is half, that's right.
Because half, is half there? This one is one.
Half.
Right, so 21 times 22 is 462.
Two.
462. And 462 divided by 2 is 231. So it can be Aleph becoming Bet, Aleph becoming Gimel, Aleph becoming Dalet, or Bet becoming Aleph, Gimel becoming Aleph, Dalet becoming Aleph. So it goes this way and it goes that way. I should have brought a copy of the Sefer Yetzirah, because in the Sefer Yetzirah, in the Book of Creation, there are commentaries. One of them is a piece from the Vilna Gaon, where he wrote out all these 462 transformations, this way and the other way. But in other words, the main thing is that somehow or other, the letters of creation, beginning with the words Yehi Or, or Tadshe'a Aretz, let there be light, let the earth be covered with vegetation, all the different things, that becomes, through transformation, Evan, a stone. And Mayim, well, Mayim is mentioned, but it's, and all the other things.
It's derivation, like, isn't it?
Yes.
Derive.
Yes. Kamosha Katub, Kamosha Kotsub, Sefer Yetzirah, as it says in the Book of Creation, Ad Shemishdal Shel Me'asorah Ma'amoros, until it chains downwards from the 10 statements, V'nimshech Mehen, and comes from them, Tziruv Shem Evan, the combination of Evan, a stone. This word, Evan, is the life force of the Evan, of the stone. So the word Evan, or the word Shulchan, here we've got a Shulchan in front of us, a table. The word Shulchan is the Hebrew word for a table. And that word is the energy which is giving existence to this table in front of us. It's the spiritual dimension of the table.
Yes, but the Evan is so simple that the Aleph, which is there, Bet, which is there, Nun, which is there, you don't have to do a combination.
What do you mean, Aleph?
Evan.
Yeah.
It's Aleph, Bet, Nun. So you don't have to get to it, you don't have to go to...
Yeah, but but what he's saying is that the word Evan isn't in the Asara Ma'amarot. It's not in the 10 statements.
Yes, but the letters are there.
The letters of that, yes.
So, to get it from here.
So you could just choose.
Choose the letters from the Maaseh Mamot and went toward heaven.
Look,
you don't have to.
You know that you could. I imagine the Asara Ma'amarot include the whole Aleph Bet.
That's what I was asking.
So that would be an explanation, another explanation, but he gives this explanation.
Is it? That's one of the questions. Is this Asara
Ma'amarot? Is every. Does it include every letter? All right, we'd have to look through. I don't know.
Then this is irrelevant, but Shulchan Sadai is the same root as in of Shalach, send.
Whether it is, I'm not sure, because Shulchan is an unusual word, because it's got four letters. It doesn't have an ordinary three-letter root. Yes, so we have the So that's an interesting point. Now, so he doesn't give that explanation. You see, in theory, Rivka's explanation could be a way of explaining it, that among the Asara Ma'amarot, you simply pick out the letters. But I think he wants to show that it gets a weaker energy. Because when he says Yehi Or, Yehi Rakia, when God says that, or let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be sun, moon and stars, this is tremendously powerful. In order to make a stone that you can have decorative in your garden, or a pebble in the street, or on the beach, it needs to be a much milder kind of energy. So how is the energy more mild? Because it's stepped down, it's transformed. Like even in English, they talk about with electricity, you have a transformer. So you could have a big industrial transformer used by the electric company. So there's thousands of volts going through the electric pylons. You know the electric pylons near here? Yeah, so they have thousands of volts. There are notices, don't go near, don't climb up, it's very dangerous. Yeah, but in order to get that into a house, to make the electricity hit, it has to be stepped down, and it's stepped down with a transformer. So the transformer makes it, instead of 20,000 volts, it becomes 240 volts.
Many transformers
there. Yeah. Whether it's China, many or how.
It's divided and channeled into smaller units.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah,
it
well, there's, but you see the transformer, that one side of the transformer you put in a very high voltage, and from the other side will come out a very mild,
something
a much lower
lesser,
voltage.
Yeah.
So it's a transformation taking place. Maybe it takes place several times, I don't know. But that's the process that he's explaining. It's a spiritual process, it's a divine process, but it's a process of transforming the energy to a lower level. So that's why he speaks about one letter changing to another, instead of just picking out the letters Aleph Beit Nun from the Asara Ma'amarot, from the Ten Statements. Yeah. Now that's the life force of the stone. V'chein v'chol ha'nivroim sheba'olam. And similarly with all things created in the world, everything that exists, ha'shemus shenikroim b'hem b'lashon ha'kodesh, the names which they are called in Hebrew, in the holy language, Hein, Hein, Oisius, Hadibur, those are the letters of divine speech, Hamishtal Shalois, which chain downwards, Mimadrega, Limadrega, from one level to another, Measora Ma'amoros Shabbatoira, from the 10 statements, the 10 utterances in the Torah, Al Yadei, now he's going through a list of possible kinds of transformation. Chilufim, exchanges of letters. Utmuras, and another kind of exchange. Ha'oisius, of the letters. Beresh Lamed Aleph She'orim, in these 231 gates. And each gate is like a pair of letters, that it goes from this letter and it becomes that letter. Ad shemagiyos umislabshus ba'oise nivra, till the letters reach into that created thing, like the table here, lahachiyusay, to give it life. So that's how it's chaining down from this higher level of holiness and intensity. It chains downwards in order to give life to the things around us, the chairs, the table, the walls, everything here, the window, the fire engines. Lefi she'ein pirtei hanivroim yocholim lekabel, because the actual detailed little created things, they're not able to receive chiyusum, their life force, me'asora ma'amores atzmon, from the 10 statements themselves, Shuba Torah, which are in the Torah, shahachayis hanimshach mehen atzmon, because the life force that comes from the 10 statements in the Torah, godl ma'od mibchinas hanivroim pratim, is much greater than the individual little created things, like the table. Ve'ein koyach behem lekabel achayis. And the table or the stone, it doesn't have the power, the strength to receive this great energy. It's like if you had a 240 volt bulb and you put it you fit it into a circuit, then in the circuit, instead of 240 volts, it's 20,000 volts. What would happen to the bulb?
Blows.
That's right.
It's too much.
So that's the problem for existence. Do you see where we are, Rivka?
I haven't got the glasses right
yet. What kind of glasses do you need?
No, that's a little bit.
Do you want to try these?
290.
Yeah, I can the page. Yeah,
see?
So read from distance.
Yeah.
Have a look. Maybe.
Worse.
I'm really sorry.
Worse, really.
Okay.
That's okay. Something.
Well, I have to keep here selection of glass.
No, I can just dust a bit.
All right.
Me too.
All right.
Yeah.
Right. We're just in the middle of that top paragraph.
Right. Yeah.
3, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Because the life force that is in them itself, in these, in the 10 statements, Godul ma'od mebchinas hanivroim pratim, is much greater than the individual created things. Ve'ein koyach behem lekabel achayis, and they are not strong enough to receive the life force. Eila, except al yedei sheyored achayis, if the life force is stepped down. Umishtalshal, it chains down mi madrega la madrega pchusa mimeno, to from one level to a lower level. Al yedei chilufim utmuras oisiois, through these interchanges of letters, and now he gives another method, the gematrios, and numerical values, which is another kind of transformation. Shehin cheshven oisiois, the numerical value of the letters. Ad sheyuchol leistamtem, until it can come down and contract, uleislabesh, and being clothed, uleisabes mimenu, and they can come into being from it, from this life force. Nivra proti, that particular created thing, that thing like the stone or the table or the chair. Vezeh shemoya sheyikru loy beloshen hakodesh, and this name, which the thing is called in the holy language, in Hebrew, hukli, is the vessel, l'chayis hametzumtzum ba'oisiyas shem zeh, the letters of the name are the vessels for the life force which is contracted into the letters of this name, shenishtal shel ma'asoro ma'amoros shebatoira, which is chained down from the 10 statements in the Torah. Sheyesh behem koyach v'chayis, because those 10 statements the letters themselves have got the power and the energy, livroi yesh ma'ayin, to create something from nothing, ulahachiyusoy la'olam, and to keep it in existence forever. Do'oraisa b'kutshu b'richu kol achad. Because God and His Torah and God are one. And so therefore the words in the Torah are really an expression of godliness. And so those words and phrases in the Torah have got an infinite power. And so therefore, from those words and phrases, we have a flow of energy flowing all the time into the world around us and into every single detail.
So every single item, something has got specifically something going to him in channel.
Yes.
There's nothing in between, like before the heaven there's no mountain. Or before the mountain, you know what I mean? It doesn't go from the bigger one to smaller one.
I think it's all kind of, that's a very nice idea, but I think that it's that every single object at this moment has this channel of energy. You see, the Talmud says a grass doesn't grow, a blade of grass doesn't grow until an angel taps it and says grow. So that means that angel is like the life force.
Directly.
So there is a direct life force to every single thing, and at this moment, every single thing is being kept in existence here.
Particularly for
yes,
this specific
yes,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's all being now. It's all being kept in existence by this energy from Hashem all the time.
Yes.
Now this is something that imagine before a person is going to pray and say the Shema and the Amida, they spend a few minutes just thinking over this idea, thinking this way, thinking that way, and just looking around the room where one is davening, where one is praying. Maybe it's at home, maybe in shul on a Shabbat morning, something like that. And just thinking that every single thing I can see and that I can't see as well, beyond, it's all being kept in existence by this flow of life force. And you begin to see this life force, this spiritual energy, that's the true reality of existence.
There is something which I sometimes struggle with, is when you kill a fly. You kill something which God created, and there's life in it. And I sometimes think, what's happening there? Are we allowed to kill flies?
Well, you
even
see, it depends.
Food,
if the fly is bad for us, like it's going to come on food, then it's right to kill it, because we also have to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
But just to kill an animal, or even to destroy a plant, for no reason, we shouldn't do.
So fly, it's not yet on the food, but it's potentially...
Well, the problem with the fly is that the nature of the fly has sticky feet, and it goes onto dirty things, and then it comes and flies onto food.
God creation.
God created it, but He created it, and we have to be careful about it.
So that we kill it.
I can't really say I don't mind to. I wouldn't kill a fly if I was outdoors, not purposely that way. But just when it comes in the kitchen.
Okay. But not outside.
You shouldn't feel guilty. If you kill a fly, you shouldn't feel guilty.
If it's at home, you know, you can spot a fly in order to keep the kitchen clean. But as Melia said, you know, you don't go outside looking for flies to kill them.
Why not?
Because they live there.
Of course not.
Yeah,
what a pastime.
They
have You know, people say, you know, you pray and you make a behind has a connection or something. And for some time I was thinking about it. And then I thought, not that, because I didn't know that, until last week when you mentioned it. But I thought that when we actually make a bracha, Adama, Shehakol, or Aetz, or whatever, we, in a way, this is what I understood, what I felt, that we connect to the initial brachot and of the creation, which, as you say, are there and everywhere. And that makes sense. No, I'm glad to say it makes sense. I thought that was a bit...
When we say the bracha, we're connecting to the whole process of creation.
We connect to the original intention of creation, which was the ma'amar, about that creation, the earth and the grass and the trees and all the vegetation and the water and everything.
All right, that's a very, very beautiful statement. But let me just add a little bit to it.
Yes.
The original intention of creation is that there should be this wonderful world, and there should be you in the world making the bracha and recognizing God.
And use it.
So in that sense, when you are making the bracha, which connects with Hashem, you are actually connecting with the original Kavanah, the original intention for creation.
That is precisely my thought. The original intention of creation, which is us to do something for this world.
Yes. Us to do something to reveal God in this world.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Echad V'Yachid is the one and only, isn't it? You say
Echad
V'Yachid.
Yes.
Then you
One and only.
Yeah, Echad V'Yachid is only.